I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. This council meeting, number 26, Tuesday, 31st of July, 2018. I welcome our councillors, our management and members of the public who are in attendance this evening, and welcome to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public who are here this evening that the meeting is being recorded and that the audio will be made available on the City of Melbourne website before close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne website as soon as practicable. And should you have any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of our Business Council team after the meeting. I request that all mobile phones be turned off or turned to silent at this point and for the duration of the meeting. And just to make sure, I'm checking mine. Excellent. The agenda tonight comprises 10 reports from management, one of which is confidential, and one item of general business. An apology has been received from Councillor Watts, who's unable to join us this evening. Item two on the agenda is to note disclosure of conflicts of interest. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council this evening, please disclose the type and nature of your interest prior to the consideration of that item. Item three on the agenda, confirmation of minutes from the previous meeting. I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 25 that was held on Tuesday, the 26th of June, 2018. I'm noting Councillor Pinder has moved that motion. Thank you. I'm calling on a councillor to second. Councillor Rees, sitting right next door. Thank you. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands, please. I note that that's unanimous and therefore that motion is carried. I declare the motion carried. Thank you. Item four, matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting. Are there any matters arising from the previous open meeting that councillors wish to discuss? No. In that case, we'll move along to correspondence and submissions. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the council's meeting procedures code. So for noting, in relation to agenda item 6.3, which is Queen Victoria Market Committee of Trustees, opportunity for enhanced trader and community representation, we received items of correspondence from Mary Lou Howie and Paul Richardson, who's with the National Union of Workers, and Mary Lou from Friends of Queen Victoria Market. Thank you. In relation to agenda item 6.9, proposed travel by Councillor Louie, Osaka, Japan, 28 August to 1 September 2018, we received one item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. Can't see Chris, but he's normally here. Thank you for those. Status of confidential item. Does any councillor want to discuss the confidential status of item 6.10 this evening? No? Good, thank you. All right, we can now move on to the item which is five, reports from committee, and we're actually noting that there are no reports from committee for consideration this evening, which means we can move to reports from management, and as I said, we have a number of those. There are nine reports that are going to be considered in this open session. The first one is the records of assemblies of councillors, item 6.1. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? Nope. Thank you. I call on a councillor to move the motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Wood, thank you. I call on a councillor to second. Councillor Riley, thank you. Would the mover like to speak to the motion? No. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? Councillor Riley, thank you. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Nope, thank you. I now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. That is unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thank you very much. We move to item 6.2, which is funding support requests in July 2018. Councillor Pinder.
Lord Mayor, may I declare an indirect conflict of interest as I'm a patron of the Father Bob Maguire Foundation.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. You're going to leave the chamber and we'll call you back when the item is finished. Thank you. Would councillors like a presentation on this motion? No, thank you. I call on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Rees, thank you. And I call on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Riley, thank you. Would the mover like to speak to the motion? Councillor Rees, no. Would the seconder like to? Councillor Riley, please go ahead.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd just like to say the Day of the Dead is a modern Mexican holiday that honours the deceased in circles of family and friends, much like All Saints' Day. It's a novel idea for fundraising and fits perfectly into the realm of Father Bob and the great work that this foundation does to feed 2,500 people each month who look after by the foundation with a hot meal once a week. It's fast spreading around the world as a novel fundraising idea, with national traditions based on Indigenous traditions. And I absolutely support this recommendation and Father Bob's Foundation.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Are there any other speakers to this motion this evening? No. Okay, I am now able to put the motion to the vote. Would all those in favour please raise their hands? That is unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thank you. And if we could ask, thanks, Rod, Councillor Pinder to join us. Again, that would be terrific. We're now at item 6.3, Queen Victoria Market Committee of Trustees, Opportunity for Enhanced Trader and Community Representation. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No, plenty to be discussed, I know, so that's good. I'm actually going to move this motion and I'm...
Lord Mayor, could I just ask two questions? Not a presentation, I'm not sure, through you to assume the CEO. Just in reference to one of the submissions we received regarding the trader representatives on the committee and also the CEO of the market potentially to be on that committee. I just wanted clarification just because we've got the terms of reference in front of us. Because with my my understanding that the traders would represent the general merchandise, fruit and veg and fish and meat, is that correct? But also just the second part of the question with respect to the CEO of the market, my understanding of the terms of reference would be that senior management, which probably would include the CEO, but management of the market would be at those meetings.
But not on the committee.
But not on correct. The committee, but just for clarification.
CEO, Ben Rimmer.
Through you, Lord Mayor. Yes, the trader representatives on the Committee of Trustees are envisaged to be three in number, as the report sets out, and three for a range of reasons, including the fact that that means that it's quite straightforward to have someone from general merchandise, someone from fruit and veg, and someone from the dairy and meat and fish sections of the market. So your understanding of that is as is management's. And then in relation to the Committee of Trustees, clearly that committee will rely very heavily on advice from a range of QVM officers and council officers about aspects of the operations of the market and aspects of the renewal program to do with the market. And therefore the CEO of QVM will be an absolutely central figure in how that committee does its business and how it receives its advice and how it formulates its views.
Thank you for clarifying those 2 points. Councillor Oak? I am now moving the motion. I'm looking for somebody to second. Thanks, Councillor Leppett. Well, this gives me, as the mover, the opportunity to speak to the motion and for everybody here on the floor of the chamber and to a lot of people in the gallery, I'm sure you know that I am a passionate supporter of the Queen Victoria Market and also absolutely dedicated to ways in which we can increase the involvement of a broader group of very important stakeholders in the operations and the renewal of the market. In particular, they include traders and members of the community. And we've seen so much dedication, interest and passion right across the community in everything that is the Queen Victoria Market. We can see from this proposal a number of key elements that I just wanted to highlight, one of which is very much the alignment of day-to-day operations with the renewal project. And that is key because there are so many elements of day-to-day operations plus the renewal program that are integrated and important and that inform each other. And so bringing those elements together is an important aspect of this proposal. Another element that I touched on in the introduction is very much about the engagement and the opportunity to participate through the Committee of Trustees in discussions about operations and renewal, in particular the trader representatives, and as just clarified through Councillor Oak's question, making sure that's across representatives across the traders of Queen Victoria Market, as well as members of the community, to provide together with other members of that Committee of Trustees that highest level of advice to Council in relation to issues, particularly strategic issues that impact the market day to day and into the future. And the new structure proposed gives us an opportunity to really streamline those operations to make sure that the efforts of all of those stakeholders, whether they are executive, their council, the board, and also the Committee of Trustees, are streamlined to make sure that we have confidence that we have the opportunity to speak with one voice at the appropriate times to ensure that there's good openness and transparency, and again, a good broad understanding of what the issues are and why decisions are made in the way that they're made. So that streamlining effort to really bring those efforts together, I think will help a lot with efficiency and, as I said, also that openness, transparency and effectiveness of the decisions and the ability to move forward. The structure also recognises, of course, that ultimately the council is absolutely responsible for what happens both in a day-to-day sense and also around major projects like the renewal. I personally think it's a great confirmation of the duties that we all have here to ensure the successful operation of the market for what is happening now and also in terms of how we invest for the market success into the future. So for all of those reasons, I am happy to propose. I acknowledge the hard work of our management team in putting this proposal together, and I also acknowledge the dedication, as I said, interest and passion within which we have received both the formal submissions to the proposal this evening and the ideas there, but importantly all of the feedback that's gone into thinking about this proposal and a new way forward for Queen Victoria Market to set the organisation up and all of those passionate stakeholders for success into the future, because the great thing is we know we have the same goal around this being a market that remains a traditional, authentic, preserves the heritage and also commercially viable for now and into the future. So as I said, for all of those reasons, happy to propose and support this motion tonight. And I call on the seconder to speak to this motion. Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I endorse that goal entirely. The election's been and gone, but you and I are as one on this matter. The best time for any government body to pull in the governance functions of one of its subsidiaries or agencies or arms is when you're about to embark on major renewal, major strategic change. Possibly the best time for us to have pared back the board and put in a different structure would have been as we embarked on the master planning for Queen Victoria Market, or maybe even the renewal, I beg your pardon, or maybe even upon adoption of that master plan. But clearly the second best, if not equal best, time to do that is right now. The reality is that the political context is right here at this point in time for us to be making this change. I'd like to acknowledge the work that officers have done and that you have done, Lord Mayor, in making the most of this moment. Clearly, we are all striving towards the same goal, and that is to ensure that the market is sustainable for future generations. And as you put it, Lord Mayor, that we're respecting the heritage of the place and that the vibrancy of the market is retained, and that the heritage, which is so much more than buildings, it's the diversity of traders, it's the ongoing practices that we need to respect. We're all on the same page there, and we all have the same goal, but clearly there is also a history over the last few years of quite natural complexity that comes with such a large-scale and complicated renewal program. So now is the right time to ensure that we are making sure that the council and the Queen Victoria Market Proprietary Limited are as far as possible singing from the same hymn sheet, if you like, but more important than that, that we are ensuring that the future directions for the renewal of the market are owned by not just elected councillors, but by the traders, by the shoppers, and by the locals. And I think that that's what this trustees arrangement will do very, very well. I note also the submissions that have been made to us, and I thank those that have written the submissions. I know that some of them are in the gallery tonight. I think that there is a very strong vote of confidence in our Queen Victoria Market Proprietary Limited CEO shining through in the Friends of Queen Victoria Market submission, and I wanted to acknowledge that. Stan is, by all accounts, doing a remarkable job and will, of course, be there to resource and provide advice to the Board of Trustees, the Committee of Trustees, and rather than being a member of it, will be certainly facilitating its discussions very closely. So I agree with the intent of the submission, which is to ensure that the CEO is fully embedded in the deliberations of the Committee of Trustees. That submission goes on to recommend a few other things. Councillor Oakes asked a question about the three trader positions, and I think it's quite clear that one from each of the main areas of trading is likely to be the outcome that we're going to see. The submission goes further and suggests a few methods of election of those positions and the community rep position. But I note that the recommendation says that we'll consider a report in August, and I'd like to give the community and our officers that month's time to ensure that we are getting this right. This is a committee that's going to be in place for a few years as we ensure that Queen Victoria Market renewal is meeting the expectations of as many stakeholders as is possible to achieve. Let's just give ourselves the extra month to make sure that we've got those selection processes right. But I wanted to particularly acknowledge that submission and thank the Friends of Queen Victoria Market for the advocacy that they provide. I will also acknowledge the work of our board. Obviously, the upshot of the resolution today, if it does pass the chamber, is that the board will be pared back. There's been an enormous amount of work by many board members over many years to get us to this point. The need to consolidate the governance functions of the subsidiary company in this way is not necessarily a reflection on them. It is an important and natural thing to do as we are embarking on very, very substantial renewal, and I think it's quite a normal thing for a government body to be doing this sort of thing. But I do thank them for their extraordinary work over many years. I endorse the motion you've moved, Lord Mayor, and I'm looking forward to receiving the advice of the Committee of Trustees in future.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett. Would anybody else like to speak to this motion this evening? Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you.
Jumping over themselves, Lord Mayor, thank you. So I think we're all in furious agreement, as we always state, that this is about the long-term sustainability of the market, and I absolutely agree with that. I very much support 3.1 and 3.2 of the purpose. 3.1, stronger trader, customer and community representation at the centre of council stewardship and decision-making regarding QVM renewal and operational matters, I think is excellent. 3.2, much greater integration and alignment between QVM renewal and operations, and ensuring that council accountability is clear and that traders have clarity about how to engage. So absolutely support the purpose. I also acknowledge that it's common to bring an asset like Queen Victoria Market closer to the organisation that's ultimately responsible for it through times of renewal. But I also have quite a number of questions, which I note that 12.4, this will come back to us at the August Council meeting, and I agree with Councillor Leppett. I think that having another month to work this through is wise when we're talking about a governance structure which is aiming to do so many aspirational and good things, and also acknowledging that historically Queen Victoria Market Proprietary Limited was set up to actually remove councillors from the day-to-day operations of the market. So with that sort of basis in mind, we need to be really careful that we're looking at this from every angle and ensuring that we don't have any unintended consequences as a result. So a few questions as Chair of Finance and Governance that I would like to see us consider as we move towards that August Council meeting. What other governance structures, particularly those that have gone through renewal in terms of market renewal, have we looked at, and sort of what are the pros and cons of those governance structures? What independent governance and legal advice have we taken? We've got excellent legal advice of our own, and that's raised an issue which I don't think is insurmountable in any way, shape or form, but noted that it'll give rise to a number of complex issues in respect to management of roles and conflicting interests. So we really need to work through and kind of almost throw a few scenarios at this new governance structure and work out how that might roll out. Then in terms of the detail, and I think the detail is really where you know, our submitters and those that are interested in Queen Victoria Market are going to probably have the most to say, and we already have submissions on that tonight from Friends of QVM and from the union as well. So what guarantee do we have that those three trade representatives will do what the TRC to date hasn't been able to do in many respects? So what guarantee do we have that they are going to be considered representative of such a diverse group of traders? What guarantee do we have that the two community reps will be considered as representative and therefore acceptable to groups like Friends of QVM who have submitted their submission this evening? Especially if the independent expression of interest process comes back and there isn't a representative from Friends of QVM. These are the things that we need to consider. Then there's just some, I think, probably more minor issues around with the QVM board being shrunk to three. What is a quorum? If one of them gets sick, you know, can we still actually have a board that functions? And how will the distinction between operational issues and those for trustee consideration be made? So an example, again, I think this is where we need to throw some scenarios at this new governance structure, is if there's a proposal to change parking fee structure, does that go to the board of Queen Victoria Market or does it go to the trustees? So really making sure that we're working through what these scenarios might throw up in terms of this new governance structure. And I guess ultimately, how to ensure the selection process delivers a workable governance structure, because obviously there is a lot of passion around the market. We absolutely applaud that. But what we need is a governance structure which is going to consider not just the market operations, or not just a certain trader group, or not just a certain section of the market, or not just the heritage of the market, but how do we ensure the long-term sustainability of the market? Because that is the ultimate way to protect its heritage, to make sure that it's financially sustainable into the future. And also, how do we get a governance structure which sees that this renewal, although having the Queen Victoria market as an absolute key piece of the renewal, is one piece of what is essentially an area which will knit the CBD to North Melbourne and to City North, and deliver things like much needed open space for the 20,000 or so residents which will use this area. So it's got quite a broad remit in many respects, and then quite a narrow remit in terms of looking at the operational issues that may present along the way. And then for our Lord Mayor, who's absolutely championing the governance structure, is I note in the terms of reference that the Lord Mayor would be the designated trustee spokesperson. So how that actually works with your role as a spokesperson for council as well. So I think that the work done by officers, the work done by the Lord Mayor, and obviously the submissions that we've received have been very helpful. And I absolutely want to get to a point where the governance structure is a structure which is much more inclusive. But I would just show that when we change a structure, we want to ensure that those questions, and they're not all the questions that we should be asking, are well answered, so that we don't end up with unintended consequences or another governance structure which a group says this isn't representative of the way we want to go.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Other people to speak to the motion? Councillor Riley, Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, I have read the management report and I have not been able to see, and please, I'll stand corrected. What is the term? How many years does this Committee of Trustees run for? Is it the term of the renewal, or is it a term? Could someone answer that for me, please?
Through you, Lord Mayor, the term of members of the Committee of Trustees is envisaged to be 1 year renewable terms. I'm not actually sure whether it says this in the terms of reference, but certainly management's underlying intent is that this arrangement would be in place for the next 3 or 4 years and then would be reviewed by council as you know, the renewal program kind of winds down and as business as usual operations return to the market. It's quite hard to envisage from where we sit today, but that's the intention behind the report.
Councillor Riley,
I'm sorry about that. But what if we choose the wrong people to go on to this trustees committee? How do we then remove them?
So the terms of reference envisage a process to deal with members of the committee who don't turn up or who behave in a way that's inconsistent with kind of commonly accepted values and business practices. And ultimately, the Committee of Trustee terms are for 1 year. So, you know, it's envisaged that there could be change in membership each year.
And there are other obligations, for example, confidentiality. So breaches of those normal sorts of duties will be in there. But they are also given as examples in terms of the paper, Councillor Riley, and some of the work that we can still build into it. Councillor Rees, what's next?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd like to begin just by acknowledging the work of officers in developing this new governance structure. And look, I do believe it sort of will help equip the council for the next and the city for the next stages in this project. I'd also like to acknowledge the submissions we received from the Friends of QVM and Mary Lou Howie and the National Union of Workers in UW, Paul Richardson. I hope that those groups will be pleased that some of the suggestions that they made are actually picked up in these governance structures and moreover, in spirit or outcome, a lot of the things that they were trying to achieve through their submissions will indeed be picked up. I think some of them have already been touched upon. So, for example, the three different trading areas, general merchandise, fruit and veg, meat, fish and dairy, we will ensure that there is balanced representation from those groups. The CEO's membership of the Committee of Trustees, while good governance practice means that the CEO will not be a member of that committee, he will certainly be an attendee, and I think we share the enthusiasm for the early runs that Stan is getting on the board, and pleased to hear that NUW, Friends of QVM and others share that view as well. And look, finally, as has been communicated to me verbally today, there is a keen sense that the members of the Committee of Trustees need to be collaborative, collegiate types, and I think that everyone will be pleased that that's something that will be in the fore of our minds when we come to making those appointments. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Rees, for your comments. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Pinder, then Councillor Francis Gilley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just very briefly, my mind just can't get away from the fact that there are 700-plus small business owners, and this is their livelihood. And while we know that the market is going backwards in terms of financial return, I think we also need to keep top of mind these 700 businesses and mostly they're family businesses. And there are traditions, there are ways that they've been doing business, but what we're trying to do is to introduce a way of perhaps renewing and uplifting the market so that they too can get a better return. My mind is on the three trader representatives, and I just question 3 out of 700. Is that enough? That's really all I want to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Pinder. Councillor Francis Gilley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think that there's the heritage review process and also your appointment has created a moment in time. And it seems that that's created an opportunity that, from how I see it, is being embraced. I've certainly seen with my colleagues and also the officers a real willingness to go, well, let's think about this differently. Let's reconsider where we're at and where we look at it. And I'm, you know, really grateful to my colleagues and to the staff to that willingness for this moment to consider that. I think my only point would be to say, because we're in the room and there's more people than just us here, that we're going to have to go into this process with everyone being willing to engage on this process and say, this process may mean that I learn something that I didn't learn before. It may mean I change my views. And I think it's really going to be really important that all those representing and coming along and being part of this group that steers the future of this are really willing to re-look at this and consider in the broadest terms the best future for the market.
Thank you, Councillor Francis Gilley. Any other speakers to the motion this evening? No, good. Well, in my opportunity as the mover to reply, just to make some further comments, all excellent discussion and things obviously for consideration in terms of detail going forward. I just wanted to note for the Deputy Lord Mayor, we're not proposing to change the constitution of the board, and so the way in which it operates in terms of a quorum is already captured under that constitution, so we can go through the detail that with you to show how it operates under its normal rules, even with the minimum of three directors, so we can go through that, but we're not proposing any change to the constitution of the board itself. In relation to, I think, a lot of the sentiment, there's still detail that needs to be worked out. And frankly, even when we get to that point about selection and who's on. We're going to have to keep working together to maximise what is a new structure. We're trying something that's different, that we think has really the right sentiment and motivation, and we're definitely heading in the right direction. But we'll need to keep working together to ensure that there's that element of continuous improvement as we identify ways in which it can work better. I wanted to also note that in addition to those elements of collaboration and building cohesive teams, in addition to wanting to make sure that we have very open and robust discussions in this forum to make sure that we're dealing with the issues and we're getting to the solutions, in the spirit of making sure that there are representatives from all of the different groups that we think are important, it's also important that we get the right mix of capability and capacity to ensure that the people on that committee of trustees are able to fulfil their duties, but also the role in which that committee of trustees. So we've got layer upon layer upon layer of consideration to go into that selection process. No pressure in terms of some of the proposals to come back. So that'll be really important. And just one final thing that I wanted to say is that, you know, when we're all talking about our common goal, that it's not a new goal. You know, there has always been the goal in the existing structure to have a vibrant, successful market that can operate well now and into the future. What we're talking about is a structure to add more value into what is an existing goal. That's what people have been working hard, the current board, and I acknowledge them. That was well done, Councillor Leppert, for making that point. And certainly their involvement and leadership through this process of change has been very important as well. But as part of that common goal, I think, you know, I'd like to acknowledge that there's an expectation across everybody involved in the new structure as well, that they're there to represent the best interests of all of those 700 traders, that there is an obligation and an understanding that the vibrancy and success of this market is very much tied to the success and the diversity and the longevity of those traders. So I take Councillor Pinder's point, but I guess I'm extending that to say that as one of the key stakeholders, that everybody involved in that structure should, and I would expect, be having those interests at heart as well, in addition to balancing those with other strategic imperatives, etc. But certainly that is the expectation. We're there to make sure that we, as we are as councillors, represent right across the constituency, including those traders. So on the basis that we've all had a chance to speak and I've replied, I'm now going to put the motion to the vote, which is very exciting. And so could all councillors in favour of this motion please raise their hands? And that is unanimous, and so I'm delighted to declare that motion carried with all comments noted. Thank you very much. And thanks to those who participated. Well done. And I love a clap, so well led. Well led. Excellent. All right, moving on to item 6.4, the M Pavilion Program Extension. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No? Okay, then we're going to move straight into... Can I have a councillor... Thank you to move the motion, Councillor Leppert, not move the mountain, Councillor Leppert, tonight, not anywhere. And could I please have a councillor to second that motion? Councillor Leilu, thank you. Okay, would the mover like to speak to the motion? Councillor Leppert.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone who came for that part of the meeting, and good evening. Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. In moving the mountain, I would like to just acknowledge that Melbourne is in a fantastic space at the moment, being well and truly the design capital of Australia. What M Pavilion has done as a lightning rod for the design community and for so many other professional communities has been quite remarkable over the last few years. I don't think that's the sort of program that is... something that can happen forever, but in and of its time, M Pavilion has been unique and quite remarkable in what it has delivered for this city. The proposal before us here, and I'm moving a motion in the same terms as the recommendation from management, is to contribute to the funding of two more years of the M Pavilion program, taking us up until early 2022, the end of that summer period there. I think implicit in this motion is that we all have an understanding that M Pavilion does have its place in time. It was never meant to be something that became a permanent structure within those heritage Queen Victoria Gardens. But while we are able to capitalise on its ability to bring so many people together and have so many wonderful discussions, lectures, fora, symposiums, the different events that I've managed to go to have all been quite fascinating, and the statistics that we've had from satisfaction of the users of M Pavilion have also been quite compelling. They're not so much in this report, but we have been briefed at other times. So I think in being requested for two more years of funding, we should agree to that request, noting, of course, that M Pavilion won't be there forever. And I think it's implicit in this resolution that Council wouldn't be expecting to receive further requests for funding beyond summer in early 2022. But I'm excited to allow the M Pavilion program to continue for the short term.
Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Would Councillor Lilo like to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And I agree wholeheartedly as well with Councillor Leppert. When I first saw, I was a relatively new councillor, but, when I first saw the, numbers behind it, I do see it's a very, large sum of money being diverted to this program. But I do recognise, having been there many, many times, especially during spring and summer, the way that it activates the open space around that, especially around the green, in the gardens, is actually really, really good way to, a place for people to meet or discuss and all other different kind of activities. So I do think, looking at could this money been spent better elsewhere? It is a question, but at the same time, we do have to recognise the, the design and also the artistic behind it and what it brings and how it makes Melbourne a more arts and cultural city. So, happy to second this.
Thank you, Councillor Lilo. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Rees, then Councillor Oak. Councillor Rees.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I concur with my councillor colleagues that the M Pavilion and M Pavilion program has been an extraordinary thing for this city, which really, I think, has tapped into the zeitgeist of the era and the embrace of the importance of good design and quality architecture in in the making of great cities, something which I'm delighted to say is so highly valued in Melbourne. I also just want to acknowledge the extraordinary generosity of Naomi Milgram and the Naomi Milgram Foundation and the very, very significant funds that she and that foundation have poured into this fantastic initiative, which has been in part matched by the generosity of the City of Melbourne, I think it should be noted. So, I'm pleased to say that I enthusiastically endorse this funding for the final 2 years of this program, and I look forward to seeing what exciting structures and program delights we will come to see.
Councillor Oak, then Councillor Pinder.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I support the recommendation for the two additional years of funding. I note that in the report that that it was reviewed against the triennial grant program eligibility, and management have determined that it does meet those requirements. I think it's suitable to review against those requirements because this large sum of money is equivalent to the other programs that we fund. And I believe that, you know, that this program not only provides, you know, extensive programming throughout the summer and spring months in Melbourne and brings a range of audiences that are not necessarily attracted to some of these other events that we spend quite a lot of money on. It's important that it is tapping into other areas of the city of Melbourne that are not necessarily afforded that those opportunities. And I think one of the great things about the M Pavilion is it is providing a space that is free, essentially, for community organisations, startups, university students and the like, and the City of Melbourne. It's a free space to have events and conversations. And we so often are contacted by groups and, you know, we put up a lot of money for events to run equivalent events at Fed Square or even within council buildings, and we can't ever offer a space that is free because it costs money, and you've got to factor in, you know, catering being provided by one provider. So the M Pavilion has provided for quite a few years now the opportunity for people looking for a space to talk about what they're wanting to talk about that are, you know, not able to do so elsewhere. So it is a great space that Naomi has provided, and I've attended many events for all ages, and I think that is important as well, that the philosophy that goes into the programming does not only really, really champion the Indigenous culture of the space and take that very seriously, it also has you know, gender diversity and appropriate payment of artists and participants, again, which I don't see strongly in a lot of other programs that we support, that the... So in terms of the way it aligns to council goals and council priorities, I really do think that when we're looking at that sum of money, we're making that assessment against other large sums of money that we provide to events that don't have anywhere near the similar alignment with council goals and values and what we're hoping to provide the community. So I support it, but I also support the sentiment that Councillor Leppert has mentioned, that it isn't meant to be a permanent event or space, and that, you know, 2 more years is very much generous, and support that this is, you know, probably the end of our funding for M Pavilion because of the moment in time that it has provided.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Councillor Pinder.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I agree with Councillor Leppert's observations and have great respect for him as chair of the arts portfolio. And the M Pavilion has transported us, transported the city into a higher level of design excellence. There's no doubt about that. But like all good things, I believe that it's by summer 2022, its race would have been run. So tonight I'm rather reluctantly supporting the management recommendations for this report. I'm mindful that the extension of the city's support for a further 2 years, so it's 4 more years, so further to a 2 year period into the 2021 and 21-22 years will mean that a new council will inherit an arrangement that we are sitting here today and making a decision on, and not giving that council the opportunity to actually choose what they would like to support. My preference is that we only support 1 year, but I'm prepared to support my colleagues on this. And I think the additional $300,000, if we were to only support it for 1 year, could be money well spent on the homeless, on accommodation for the Melbourne Men's Shed, on the Hester Hornbrook Academy for Education for Disadvantaged Youth. I can come up with a zillion ways in which the city can spend $300,000 far more effectively, given that this program has had its run. And I say all of this with the greatest respect to the Milgram Foundation, having known me for a long, long time. But I still need to advocate that for my conscience, $300,000, I would much have rathered saving that $300,000 in that second year. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I agree with all my colleagues, have really reflected, I think, how much M Pavilion has given to Melbourne, and certainly I'm absolutely grateful that Naomi is a Melburnian, to have someone of her stature and ability wanting to contribute to Melbourne is fantastic. But my reflection isn't about what it's given to Melbourne. I think Councillor Oak and Councillor Leppard and others have articulately covered, you know, what this does for Melbourne. But I must say that I'm happy to support this evening, but I'm erring sort of along the vein of Councillor Pinder that, you know, committing a future council to expenditure is not something that we do lightly. And when we look at the value that we've committed to M Pavilion over the years, so this is 2013 to 2022 for something that started off as something that was going to be a four-year installation, it's $3.5 million. So $3.5 million. So that's not diminishing in any way, shape or form the commitment by the foundation in terms of what they have committed in return. But $3.5 million, when you put that up against sort of an event or some of our other arts funding, this is our public arts budget and then some. This is, you know, the Sustainable Living Festival, you know, sort of winding down to $40,000 and then a heck of a lot. So I think we just need to be mindful that, yes, it's delivered a lot for Melbourne, but $3.5 million is a very, very large sum of ratepayer money to be going to an activity like this, no matter how much it's delivering for Melbourne.
Thank you, Councillor Wood. Councillor Francis Gilley.
Can I ask a question for clarification at this point?
Sure.
When it says it was, the amphitheatre was reviewed against the triennial arts grant program, what was the reason it didn't go through the triennial arts grant program, or did it?
Councillor Leppard.
Kay's not here. I don't know if Angela wants to. I'm happy to answer it, but I think it's technically meant to go to Angela. The issue is that the triennial arts grants program is for the production of new art, and it's directly, and so competitive applications are those that employ artists to create new works. This is one artist at a stretch, if you like. It's a architect who is given prominence by funding their work and then creating that building. It is not a natural fit at all for the arts triennial program. The other thing about the triennial program is that it's, of course, only open every 3 years, and that forward three-year commitment from the Naomi Milgram Foundation didn't align with that triennial either. But even if it did, I believe it would not have been at all competitive because of the way that the arts triennial's funding is set up. But what's happened here is that management have assessed it as though an application had been made, but I think have given particular weight to the number of attendees and highlighted that in the assessment. So it's a bit of a nuanced answer, but that's my understanding as to why no application was made, and my advice would have been that no application should have been made in the first instance.
Councillor Francis Gilley?
Yeah. So I think I really agree with everyone in terms of contribution. I understand that sometimes we change processes because, you know, things have come to us and it's opportune. It seems to me this is the third time round this has come back. I think tonight I won't be supporting it, not because I don't think it's an extraordinary gift to the city, but just because I don't, you know, we spend such a lot of time on process and working out how we're going to do this and how we hand that back to management that it's not the event or the thing or the commitment or what's extraordinary. So I don't think that if we spend such a long time setting up processes to evaluate where we spend our time and money, then spending this amount of money outside of a process, for me, is concerning. So I'm not going to support it, not because I don't really acknowledge everyone's commitment, but I don't understand why we should change the rules for such a large amount of money as a grant. So I'm, you know, anyone working on it shouldn't take this personally, but I, you know, in terms of process, I don't think it fits for me. So.
Okay, I'm not quite sure that's what Councillor Lippitt was saying in terms of it being outside the process, but that's... Anybody else like to speak to the motion this evening? Would the mover like... the opportunity to reply.
Just briefly, Lord Mayor, thank you. And obviously, I'm not seeking to lean on any councillor here. The votes fall where they fall. I answered the question previously as neutrally as I could, even though I have a strong opinion. I think, though, that the practical reality is that this is, I don't want to qualify the word unique, but it is an utterly unique proposition that wouldn't have a natural fit in any of our grants programs. So it would have been one thing for us to recalibrate some of our grants programs to help an application like this fit. But so many things needed to happen from the council's end in order for this to be facilitated, including permissions related to putting the structures in place, the specialist contractual arrangements with the funding for the Melgrim Foundation, which are foreign to the arts grants contracts. These are all specialist decisions that needed to be lined up in order to allow it to happen. And that is because it is a unique location with a unique proposition from and something that we've not seen before. So on the one hand, yes, we could have said it doesn't fit the grants program, therefore we shouldn't have funded it. On the other hand, it never would have fit the grants program, even if we'd designed the best grants program in the world. So the proposals before us today in this context, because it is unique and it doesn't fit in any other way, and that's why it's been brought to us in the context. And in that context, I'll still be supporting it, but of course all councillors are free to come to their own conclusions.
Good. Okay, so any others? Well, we've done that. The movers replied. I'm now going to put the motion to the vote. Would all those councillors in favour of this motion please raise your hand? So I'm noting that Councillor Capp, Councillor Leppert, Councillor Oak, Councillor Rees, Councillor Louis, Councillor Lee Lu are in favour of the vote. Would all those against the motion please raise your hands? So I am noting that Councillor Francis Gilly, Councillor Pinder, Councillor Riley and Councillor Wood have voted against the motion. But the majority are in favour, and therefore I am declaring the motion carried this evening. Thank you very much. Item 6.5, authorisations under the Planning and Environment Act. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No? Then I call on a councillor to move this motion, Councillor Rees, and I call on a councillor to second the motion, Councillor Wood. Thank you. Would the mover like to speak to the motion, Councillor Rees? No. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? No. Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak to this motion this evening? No. Then I am going to put the motion to the vote. Would all those in favour of the motion please raise your hands? That is unanimous, so I am able to declare that motion carried. Thank you. We are now moving to item 6.6, Amendment of Planning Permit Application Fees, Secondary Consent. Would the councillors like a presentation on this motion? No, thank you. I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Wood, thank you, and I'm calling on a councillor to second the motion. Thank you, Councillor Rees. Would the mover like to speak to the motion, Councillor Wood?
Very briefly, Lord Mayor, I think it's good that we've been able to pick up this anomaly. I think we sort of identified it through the budgeting process, but with so many fees and charges, literally tens and tens of pages of them, you can be assured that that mistakes occur, and it's good that we've rectified it quickly so that there won't be any impact.
Thank you, Councillor Wood. Councillor Rees, would you like to speak to the motion? No. Would anybody else like to speak to this motion this evening? No. Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. Would all those in favour please raise their hands? Thank you. That is unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. We've now come to item 6.7, which is procurement of principal consultant for Lady Huntingfield Integrated Childcare and Family Services Redevelopment Contract, 8605 capital A. Would councillors like a presentation on this motion? No, thank you. I call on a councillor to move the motion, Councillor Pinder, and a councillor to second the motion, still with his hand in the air, Councillor Wood. Thank you. Would the mover like to speak to the motion, Councillor Pinder?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm truly excited about this project, and it really does augur well for the ongoing strong need for childcare in our city, and you know, with the external funding as well from the Department of Education to the tune of $1.6 million, we're well on our way. Six consultants were invited from the Victorian Government's Construction Suppliers Register, and the winning tenderer, while not the cheapest, has scored very well on price and non-financial criteria. So I think a great decision, team. I can't wait to see the evolution of the Lady Hunting Field Integrated Childcare and Family Services redevelopment as I see it as a great boon for our city.
Thank you, Councillor Pender. Councillor Wood, would you like to speak to the motion?
I completely agree with Councillor Pender. I think we all absolutely can't wait to get this project going. I just note in addition that the lowest tender price was non-compliant, which I think is important to note that all of the tenders that were compliant sort of sit around that same sort of mark, that ballpark, so you know that that the price that we've been able to secure for this project is on the money.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion this evening? No? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. That's raised, Councillor Lilu. Good. And so that is the unanimous in favour, so I declare the motion carried. Thank you. We're now at item 6.8, which is the 2018 Melbourne City Council Lord Mayor by-election election report. Fascinating reading. Would any of the councillors like a presentation on this item? No. I call on a councillor to move the motion. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I call on a councillor to second the motion. Thank you, Councillor Lilu. Would the mover like to speak to the motion?
This is an outrageous report and I demand a recount. in all seriousness, it's a statutory requirement that we have this report presented to a council meeting. Unlike other commentators in the community, I believe that the election was conducted strictly in accordance with the Act and that the outcome was very much correct and the VEC has followed their obligations scrupulously. Now, of course, I think that the provisions of the Act are terrible and need to change, but that is quite another matter. My remarks on this have been made for many, many years and you will find them in submissions to the Local Government Act review and you'll find them again when amendments are moved to the bill before Parliament at the same time. So I'll leave those matters for the state parliamentarians. I'd just like to acknowledge the work of our officers to facilitate the rather odd CEO's role and to add that to the VEC's role. It is a pretty unusual situation where our officers are required to compile more than 60% of the electoral roll and do so very, very quickly. It's even odder when you're using that roll from 2 years ago in the context of a by-election and making only a few tweaks around the edges. I know that the Local Government Inspectorate has announced that there is going to be a little bit of a review into some of the claims that have been made. Again, I'm firmly of the view that there's no error being made in accordance with the rules, but obviously the City of Melbourne role's uniqueness is something that is of interest to many. But as far as the election itself goes, I had a lot of fun. I thought it was a wonderful election right up until the votes started getting counted. And now I'm back into the frame of mind where I'm very glad I'm not the Lord Mayor. And I congratulate you, Lord Mayor, and I look forward to a productive 2.5 years.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett, for your comments. I haven't read any of your previous submissions. I presume it's something like only residents of Kensington can vote or something like that. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. To Councillor Lilu as seconder, would you like to speak to the motion?
How do you top that? I mean, that's just it's just great. First and foremost, I guess it would be really good. I know that in our report, the percentage and everything, I checked with the VEC website, is actually we have a difference. So the VEC website's got 56.15 for the general election and 56.61 whereas we've got 55.67 and 57.93. So it'll be great if we can get the VEC to update the numbers here. But nevertheless, after that, just wanted to say it was a great report. It was great reading. I think a bit of a, when I read the report, the amount of effort and I guess the hard work that went into it, a lot of people don't get to see that. And, and holding a by-election and general election is very, very hard. And, you know, to do so in such a short time frame is very difficult. I do want to, I guess the cost behind such election is, it's tremendous. And I think, this is an area that I think we can explore about how we can reduce the cost so that we can go forward in a more efficient and more, a better way. I also want to, technologies now is more advanced and, blockchain, for example, I think could be a potentially, great asset to something like voting. But also, I also want to, acknowledge the fact that we have a lot of informal votes. It's pretty disappointing that a lot of people did put their, vote forward, but in the end, it wasn't counted. So I think it's quite disappointing. And I think the other part is also people actually knowing whether or not they can vote. So, for example, a lot of international students in the city of Melbourne are able to vote, but then they don't know that or realise that. And I think that's a real shame because, I think voting is part of a great democracy and it should be a right, not a privilege. And I think that's something that we should afford to everyone who's a ratepayer, who contribute to the city in some way. But overall, look, I think, again, it's a great report. I hope we don't have another by-election. I'm looking forward to that, in 2 years' time, we have a general election. I really hope that the voter turnout will be higher that each year. I do recognise that we have increased it by around about 2%. I'm hoping that we can crack the 60%, in 2 years' time. I'm very optimistic about it. But I think, the more we engage with the voters and the more that they can vote on this, it just means that we have a better representative of council and better representative of the people that's within the city.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Lu. I agree. I think the ways in which we can encourage more people to be involved in our democratic process is really important. So we might be able to have some good discussions as we get closer to the next election on how we can do that. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion apart from the fact I just made some comments on the motion? Councillor Rees and then Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, there are a number of electoral nerds on this council. I think that's a good thing. So I'd like to concur with my fellow nerds and say I think this is a terrific report, and Warwick Gately and the team, who's the Victorian Electoral Commissioner, and his team at the VEC, I think should be congratulated for once again administering, I think, a very good electoral process here in the city of Melbourne. The telephone inquiry call record is something new. I don't recall seeing that in previous reports, so I congratulate the VEC on continuing to provide us with rich feedback about the ways in which the good burghers of Melbourne have participated in the electoral process. I also note positively the fact that the participation rate, it appears, was higher in this Lord Mayoral by-election than the general election. That's quite surprising. You would think that it would have gone the other way. And I hope that it signals that the participation rate is on the rise in the city of Melbourne, because like Councillor Philip Lee Lu, I would like to see that participation rate rise significantly. And let's hope we can get that up around 70 and 80% in the years ahead. I think that's a challenge for all of us. But overall, I think it's a very informative report. Well done to Warwick Gately and the team at the VEC.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Councillor Riley.
All I want to say is I do agree with you. The report was excellent. But I still have this underlining, what about Australia Post? And all those votes that didn't get counted that came in from international voters that just didn't get that opportunity. So I just think that we've just got to put it on the radar for the next election to see how do we combat the lack of Australia Post, or giving more time to allow them to get their votes in.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Any other speakers to this motion? No, well, I'm going to then put the motion to the vote. Can you raise your right hands if you are in favour of the motion, just in case we're all still listening? Thank you. Shake it all about. That is unanimous, so I'm declaring that motion carried. We're up to item 6.9, proposed travel by Councillor Louis, Osaka, Japan, 28 August to 1 September 2018. Councillor Louis, are you excusing yourself? Oh, well, hang on. Does anybody want a presentation on this item? No? Okay, so mover. Is Councillor Reese a seconder? Is Councillor Wood? Would the mover like to speak to the motion?
Yes, look, just to acknowledge that Councillor Louis is a tireless servant for the City of Melbourne. And he embraces his portfolio and all that comes with it, and that in part, and part of that is being a salesman for our great city abroad, and I'm sure he is going to do that again with this trip. And like he often does, I look forward to seeing the report and the photographic expose that will come with it as well, which he is famous for.
Thank you. Councillor Wood, would you like to speak to the motion?
I'm happy to support this. We've been a BPC member since 1999. Osaka sister city relationship, 40-year anniversary this year, and the mayor of Osaka is coming out in December. So pretty good timing to actually be having Councillor Louis over there. Keep making sure that that relationship is still very strong indeed. And I, like Councillor Reese, we'll read the report and just assess which days Kevin wore, or Councillor Louis wore, which shirt on. That's, you can tell sort of how you map the days out by which shirt he's wearing.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? Councillor Lilu, then Councillor Pinder, then Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Lord, and I'm just speaking, I guess, you know, just coming back from the business mission trip where we visited Osaka and many, I guess, innovation and also especially the medical sector, and I think it's quite important to keep that relationship continuing. I think Osaka is by far our oldest sister city, yes, and you know, it's one that I think we have reaped great benefits, especially along with Tianjin as well. So I think it's great that we are still keeping up with that, and again, you know, the mayor is coming over in later in the year. I would like to ask, you know, if Councillor Louis can pass on, I guess, all of our councillors and also, you know, the Lord Mayor's, you know, interest and, you know, I guess, and also the, and especially also the, I guess, the disasters that they have faced recently, and also the fact that all of Melbourne will be with them.
Thank you, Councillor Lilu. Then we're going to Councillor Pinder.
Just quickly, Lord Mayor, just to say that the value of these trips is never to be underestimated. You know, they're pretty full on, but they're also terrific engagements to foster that two-way exchange and over 40 years. Wow, that's quite a milestone. And they do enable us to enhance our relationships with some of these major cities, and as Councillor Wood said, the BPC has been going for so many years now, it ought to continue. And Councillor Louis is a good person to be able to do this for us. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. Councillor Oak?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I was just going to acknowledge the efforts of the International and Civic Services Branch in providing support, not only the lead-up during and after the event, because that is a critical component of the success of all of these trips and these networks, is the assistance from the team to make sure that we really do realise the opportunities that come from the hundreds of meetings that happen in a very short period of time. So.
I'd also like to acknowledge the work of the team, and David Livingston. He's here tonight, and know that the recommendation has been balanced with a lot of the other interests and competing activities. So that's well received and well supported. Thank you. Councillor Louis, did you want to comment on this motion?
Very briefly, if I can. Got also thank Chris Thrum for his...
Yes. Thank you, Chris. He's up here.
Thank you for his message, as always. But also, I'd like to thank Katrina and David and the team as well, because the international team just certainly does work tirelessly, not only on the BBC program or SACA, but generally globally in terms of promoting Melbourne and helping Melbourne businesses reach their full potentials. But the PPC is rather special because Melbourne's the only city in Australia that's a member, but we're a member amongst another 12 other members of very, very large cities, which we certainly punch above our weight. We've got Singapore, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Ho Chi Minh, and several other cities as well. But also, it meets our ASEAN strategies as well. We cross over with we've got Jakarta, Bangkok, and Ho Chi Minh as well, as a few other cities. So we meet all our critical international criteria, and particularly the City of Melbourne's doing business globally strategy. But also, once again, I thank the team, certainly a great team that provides a great deal of support.
Excellent, thank you. Were there any other speakers to this motion this evening? Item 6.9 is now being put to the vote. Would all those in favour please raise your hand? And that's unanimous, so I'm pleased to say that motion is carried. Well, that brings us to the end of reports from management to be considered in open session. And it leaves us with general business. There is one item of general business for consideration in open session, which is item 7.1, notice of motion, Councillor Cathy Oak, vehicle access and parking in major municipal parks and gardens. Can I call on a councillor to move the motion, please?
I'd be happy to move my motion, if that's okay. I'd like to move the motion on the screen.
Excellent. Can I have a councillor that is seconding the motion? Councillor, oh, there's a fight here. Councillor Leppert, thank you. Now, Councillor Oak, could you please speak to the motion?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think it is what it is in the report, the notice of motion and the background. And I thank officers for helping me prepare the notice of motion, in that we've received quite a few emails over the last few weeks about concern about vehicles parking where maybe they're not meant to park, and in order to understand whether this is a real issue and or potentially the reasons as to why, and also who has the management authority around controlling parking within the areas where these cars are found in our parks, mostly Royal Park, but I understand that there are also communication from our community about car parking in other parks and gardens that we manage as well. So rather than instigating individual assessments on an ad hoc basis, and also acknowledging that we're currently reviewing transport modes in Royal Park, in and around Royal Park, that it was seen that this was perhaps a useful opportunity to make an assessment about whether access to the park and parking opportunities is something that needs to be addressed as part of that transport assessment. So it is what it is. It's an audit, and we'll see what the data provides in December.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? Councillor Leppert?
I'll reserve my right. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion this evening? Know what that was all about. So no other speakers to the motion this evening. Then we're going to put that motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. I note that that's unanimous, and therefore that motion is carried. So this concludes the items of general business for consideration in open session this evening. There remains urgent business. Are there any items of proposed urgent business in this open session of this council meeting this evening? No. Thank you, everybody. I am calling the meeting to a closure of meeting. I call for a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public and consider moving forward items of confidential business, and that is Deputy Lord Mayor Councillor Wood, and I'm calling on a councillor to second that motion, Councillor Riley. Thank you very much. I'm now putting that motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. There's one, two. That is unanimous, so I am declaring that motion carried. At this point, I wish to thank all the members of the public for their interest and attendance this evening. Thank you very much. And declare the meeting closed to the public at 6:50 p.m.